We begin the current daven Sefetz Vamis daven Samach Tes. We begin 11 lines down from the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we were discussing this halacha of the previous Mishnah of Nivela L'Pasla. If a woman cohabits with a man that's forbidden to come into the Kehillah, Nasin, a Mamzer, or like a Chol, that's forbidden to for the Kehuna purposes. If there's just cohabitation, she becomes possible for Truma and for Kehuna, whether she's a Bas Kohen or Bas Yisrael. Now, the sources that we had for this was the pasuk of Uvas Kohen Kisil Ishzar. That was a pasuk in B'yikuch of Beis Yud Beis. Now, that the Gemara concluded on the bottom of Samachesma Beis, that seems to only indicate a psul that Kedushin is Taifis. For example, like Chiv Alavin, because it uses the terminology of Kisia, which although the way we dash in the pasuk of Le'ishzar, which means like a Mamzer and all these types of pasul individuals, it's regarding being together, cohabitation, but still the terminology is Sia, which means Kedushin. It sounds like it's only if Kedushin is Taifis. How would we know that if a woman cohabits with, let's say, an Eved or Eved Kechavim, that would also invalidate her from Kahuna? So that the Gemara brought from Amud Beis going to the top of this Amud, the next pasuk that says Uvas Koyin Kisi Almano Grusha, which that the Gemara said that's referring to only a type of a man that there is widowhood and there is a state of divorce from, that then she can go back to her father's household if her husband dies without any children. This husband that was a non-Koyin. Now, but what the drush of the pasuk tells us is that she only is still viable for kahuna if this cohabitation, this union she had with this other man, was that she could be widowed from. But if there's no widowhood, meaning there was no marriage here, kedushin's not taifis, then she can't go back to kahuna, she can't go back to her father's household, because she becomes pasul from kahuna, and that's the source, not only for those that kedushin is taifis, but even like Eved Nevi Kechavim, that kedushin is not taifis. Now that's why Agamor continues and asks the following question. But Ul Rabbi Kiva, Dama, that he's on record saying, that's brought many times in this Masechta, that Ein Kedushin Teifes Mechiv Alavin, Kedushin is never Teifes with any type of Adam Pasal. Meaning even the lowest type of grade of Adam Pasal, where it's just a negative prohibition, a Nasin or Mamzer, he holds even that category, Kisiya, cannot connote Kedushin, that type of apostle, that Kedushin would be Taifis if he cohabits with the woman, then he makes her apostle for Kahuna, because none of them Kedushin is Taifis. Now, therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, Umay Kisiya Le'ishzar, according to him, the pasuk that we brought on the previous daf, how would he interpret when it says Kisiya Le'ishzar, not the term of Havaya, and to say, as we had interpreted on the previous daf, that, oh, you know what that pasuk and pasuk Yud Beis over there would be invalidating? Only a bia puzzle of someone that's puzzled to this woman, but that is fit for kedushin, and that you can't say according to Rabbi Kiva, because he holds there is no kedushin for any type of puzzle that for the kahila for the Jewish people. Now, must be according to Rabbi Kiva, this term of kisiya must be referring not to kedushin, but to what the drush actually is referring to regarding being together about a bia pesula, and therefore what comes out is that according to him, kisivol, when kisiya says, it really means kisibol. It must be talking about a terminology of cohabitation. And hence, if that's the reference of the pasuk, then all zarim, all forbidden people are included in that pasuk and pasuk yud beis, that their bia is peiselis, will invalidate the woman from kuhuna, which thus, by default, includes eved kechavim, eved, chiv krisis. Now, if that's the case, that we're learning them all out from that first pasuk, not like we had assumed on the previous daf, that's why we need another pasuk of pasuk yud gimel of almana or grusha. So then the Gemara asks, almana or grusha, when the pasuk then says that if the bas kohen will then be widowed or divorced from this non-kohen that she was married to, which we had entertained and we were saying on the previous daf that, oh, that comes to include eved kechavim and eved, because it's only someone that she has almanas from, which, however, these though people don't have kedushin, therefore, that's where we learned that out from. According to Bekiva Lamali, what do I need that extra pasuk for, which we showed that was used for a drush, which according to him, you already know it from the previous pasuk, because kisiya is not qualifying what type of a psul that kedushin would be typhus, because according to him, no psul has kedushin typhus. It must be kisiya doesn't refer to havaya kedushin, but rather to bia, and then it would include all types of bia psulam. So the Gemara says, you're right, according to Bekiva, this next pasuk Gimel, is not coming to say the drasha we had said in the previous daf. It's rather regarding the context of what that pasuk is actually talking about. Which, if one reads that pasuk, it says that if a bas kohen, if it's widowed or divorced from that relationship with the non-kohen, and she doesn't have any children, she goes back to her father's household like she was in her youth, and she could go back eating from her father's truma bread. Now, that is what the Gemara tells us, that almano lahachmer laha, that the according to Kiva, we needed to specify this pasuk to say astringency regarding a widow, and the grush lahakala, and we had to specify regarding a divorcee to be lenient on her. In other words, you're right. It's not like the drasha of Misha Yesh Loy Almanus Vigarish. It's rather needed for the context of the pasuk, that to be stringent regarding an almana. And the reason is, as the Gemara will shortly explain, is because had we not written almana there in that pasuk, we would have thought to say that if a woman was widowed from a Yisrael and she's a bas kohen, that she could be able to eat even if she has children from him. And the grusha we also have to write there in the pasuk as a leniency and to tell us that when she doesn't have children from the Yisrael that she could eat, because had the Torah not written it, we would have thought to say that even when she doesn't have children from him, that she would not be able to eat, because since now that she's a grusha, she's pasul to kahuna, we would have thought to say that she's also pasul from truma. And that's why we had to say this pasuk, not because amonis a gerushin regarding qualifying a person that has kedushin that he can then widow a wife or divorce it. As the Gemara says with Tzrichim, we had to say both of these points. As follows, the Yash min Amon, had the pasuk only mentioned this idea about a woman being widowed that she can go back to her father's house on Yitruma, well then Amonu hu dechiles lo zeroch, I would have thought to say only a widow that when she doesn't have children then she could go back to her father's house who he's a kohen and eat his truma, shum dechazel kuhuna, because a widow is still valid for kuhuna, as we see a widow can marry a kohen, but a divorcee who is suddenly out of the picture of kahuna, in that sense, she can't get married to a kohen anymore, even a kohen hejid. Ema avagav deles la zera le'acha. I would have thought to say that even if she doesn't have children from that Yisrael, she cannot go back to her father's house to eat truma. And the other way too. V'iyash min grusha, had we only said grusha, well then grusha hu dechi is la zera le'acha. I would have thought to say that only by a divorcee when she has children, then she cannot continue eating truma. Because she's not someone fit to kuhuna and she has children, she can't eat truma anymore. But an amana that's still fit for kuhuna. I would have thought to say that even if she has children from that Yisrael who now died, she could go back to eating truma. That's why we have to say amana grusha, not for drasha purposes, but rather as a way of expounding the context of this pasuk itself, as a leniency for grusha that she could eat if she doesn't have children, and that astringency as almana that she cannot eat if she does have children. Now the Gemara goes back to this entire discussion and asks the following question. We defined, and we had a source for it from Psukim, that regarding this halacha of nivela lepasla, if a woman cohabits with someone that's invalid for her, and we said a whole list of people, nasin, mamzer, cholol, and amoyni, moyavi, that if she has cohabitation, it invalidates her. Now the Gemara asks, Ve'ema nivela lepasla, this halacha that we learn from the pasuk of chisila ishzar, that she becomes invalid by having cohabitation with someone that's pasul to her. Why didn't you say that's af machzigur shasid? Why is that left out of the list? If a man remarries his woman that he divorced after she had already married someone else, which is is in the Torah, that should also create that she becomes pasul for kahuna. And the reason is because he's a zar to her. Meaning, as we learn from Zar, that Mechiyah, Chisila, Zar means to say someone that's forbidden to her. He's forbidden to her. Moreover, he's even included in the category that we mentioned in the previous half of Chisila, Zar, because Kedushin is Taifis with a Machzegur Shaseh. So why do we learn in a Brayis and Perek HaChelitz that he kashero uvlader kasher, when a man forbiddenly in sin takes back the woman that he divorced that had remarried someone else in the interim, that she's kosher and her child's kosher, where the Gemara there explains that she's kosher for kahuna and most definitely for truma. But why? Why is it any different than all the other nivela lepasalas? So that the Gemara says, because le'ish zar am rachman. The pasuk says, chisi le'ish zar, which we learn from that to mean to say someone that's pasal tar. What that means is, misha zar etzla mi'ikara. Someone that was always foreign to her, a mamzer, a nasin, that can't marry anyone in the kehillah. This man, who was not always Zartar, actually, he was her first husband, or a previous husband. Now, therefore, he can't be someone that was always a Zara. So although now he's forbidden, it's not included in the Pasig, of which is the source to tell us that if it's never Lila Pasala, that she becomes Pasala for Kahuna. But the Gemara asks another question. Well, Ihachi, if the way you just qualified the definition of Zar, that has to be someone that's always forbidden to this woman, then if he cohabits with her, then he turns her into a Pasala, well then Chalal, the Lav Zarhu, a Chalal, that's not a zar, is not forbidden to this woman, because actually a chalal is allowed to, although he's removed from certain halachas of kahuna, he's allowed to marry kahanes. So leilifsal. So why, if the chalal cohabits with this woman, does he make her apostle from kahuna? If you just define the term zar as someone that's forbidden and always was forbidden to her. So I think Moses says you're right. Chalal is actually learned out from a different pasuk. Amakra, the pasuk says in the prohibition of a kohen gadol to an almana, says, don't have this union. Leichal zar ba'amav, he shouldn't desecrate his children amongst his people, which is going to happen if this kohen gadol marries this widow. Now, what we see from the pasuk is makish zaroi. The pasuk is equating the child, the children of the kohen gadol that he has from the almana, like to himself, because it's saying zaroi, his children. It's putting him together with them. That's telling as follows: mahu paisel, just like the kohen gadol invalidates this almana with his cohabitation, thus making her asa from truma from now on, as the Gemara learns in Kedushin of Ayin Zamanat Aleph, where the pasuk says v'leichal. Now the Gemara there says the term leichal, do not profane, do not desecrate, sounds like someone that was kosher up until now, that's now becoming mechulel. That's only the almana, who she was a valid woman up until now, and is becoming mechulel in contrast to the children that were always, they were born in that status of being pasul. So the Gemara there darshins that the kohen gadol turns the almana into a psula, into a chalala, just with his cohabitation. So we learn avzaroi, as the pasuk is equating him to his children, so we say so to his child, who that's the chal. Chal is a child that was born from a forbidden union of the kohen with the forbidden wife, that nami pasul, that he also will invalidate a woman with his cohabitation from having truma from now on. That's the source for the lacha of chal, correct, not from the pasuk of Kisil Izar, because that's only someone that's always forbidden to this woman. Now, the Gemara asks, again, based on everything that we set up until now in this drasha, that we're learning it out from Kisil Izar, but the Gemara asks, Ve'ema, if you're learning this out from the pasuk that says Kisia, well then, this invalidation of this forbidden man with this woman should be Mishas Havaya, should be already from just having Kedushin with her. So let's say a mamzer or a nusin gets engaged to this woman. Just from the engagement, she should be invalid forever, even if he dies without cohabiting with her, because it's learned out from kisiya. So though, yes, the context is telling us regarding cohabitation, but since the pasuk is using havaya, so it should tell us already from then she becomes asur. So that the Gemara says no, because dumi de kohen gadol v'almana, the paradigm of the archetypical types of forbidden relationships that create psulin, as we find what a kohen gadol does to almana, that he turns her into a psul, we equate all of them to kohen gadol to almana. And ma kohen gadol b'almana b'biyah, just like over there, it's only with cohabitation that he invalidates his wife, the widow, as the pasuk says in Mikra Chafalef, lo yichal zaroi. Now, what that means is that he only creates chilul when he has zer, when he has children, meaning that there was cohabitation. And actually, that's how the Gemara learns in Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara says explicitly, In the Mishnah, that nis'amaloi nis'garshu min hanisuin psulis. Regarding kohen gadol with almana, it's only if she was widowed or divorced from marriage, which means that it was consummated relationship with cohabitation, then she becomes pasul. But actually, if she was widowed from erisin, she actually is still kasher. So therefore, we find by, just like almana kohen gadol, she only becomes psula. With bia, sa'avhai name bebia, so too, all these cases, it's only with, if they cohabit with her, but just getting engaged will not make her pasul of a kohen. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ve'ema adi'ika havayu ubiya, but maybe say that you need both. Say, you're right, you definitely need biya, as we find by the almana kohen gadol. But the pasuk also used the term kisiya, maybe you need to have both. That the Gemara says, no, dumi de kohen gadol ba'almana. Ma kohen gadol ba'almana bebiya l'chuda. Just like over there, it's just with cohabitation, as we said, that all you need is leichal zaroi when there's a child, when there's cohabitation. Afhai nam bebiya l'chuda here also, even if it's no, there was no marriage over here, there's no engagement, just a random psul goes and cohabits with this woman, just that act of cohabitation will invalidate her from the halachas of kohanah. Now, that concludes the first of the three opinions of this braisa mentioned on the previous daf, which was the primary concept that we were discussing of bia psula, that is a cohabitation between a psul, a mamzer, nosin, and all the whole list that was mentioned with this woman, whether she's a bas kohen or bas levi, bas yisrael, will invalidate her both from truma and from kohanah. Now, the Gemara continues discussing the braisa, that there's a second opinion mentioned over there. It was quoted as Rabbi Yossi Omer, he said, this enigmatic statement of kol shezari posel paisel, wherever that posel's child is posel, then when he cohabits with a woman, he invalidates her. But if a kol shein zari posel, ain't a posel. If that man's child is not invalid, then the child is valid, then ain't a posel, he will not invalidate a woman that he's cohabiting with. So the Gemara asks, my ikka ben tana kam Rabbi Yossi. What exactly is the difference between that first opinion that we were discussing up until now and Rabbi Yossi? Because essentially, every pasul pasels his children. If you're a mamzer, the child's a mamzer. If you're a nasin, your child's a nasin. What does that mean in this, with this, the definition Rabbi Yossi is qualifying? So Amar Biyechin, he says, mitzri sheni v'adoymi sheni ikka benayu. The difference between them is the Egyptian or an adoymi that converted, and he's a second generation convert. Now, a mitzri sheni, he himself is possible to come into the kehillah. He can't marry a regular Jewish woman. But his child is kosher. His child's kosher because a mitzri shlishi is allowed to then come into the marrying to Klal Yisrael. Now, according to the Tanna Kamma, since the mitzri sheni himself is possible, well, then he will invalidate a woman with his bia. But Rabbi Yossi is arguing on that, and he's saying that no, since his zaroi is kosher, then his own bia will not invalidate a Jewish woman. And the Gemara says, actually, v'shneim lo'ilam du'a elam u'kan galav amanah. Both of them actually learn out from the same source, from as we had just learned before, which is the paradigm of kan galav amanah. Tanna Kamma Savar, he says, look, ma kan galav amanah should be yase ba'aveiru u'paisel, where there's a forbidden, this is a union in sin, and therefore it invalidates the woman. So afhai, so to a mitzri and a demi sheni, where that their cohabitation is in sin, as the pasuk says, shlishi, that a third generation mitzri and adami could join the Jewish people, but not the second. Namai Paisel will also invalidate a woman that he cohabits with. But Rabbi Yossi Saber, he argues, he says, no, you're right, kikoin godl. And that is, ma koin godl shazari paisel upaisel, as we said before regarding the chalal, just like the koin godl, that his child is also a paisel. Oh, that's why the koin godl's bia will make the woman into a psula. But afkal shazari pasul paisul, but then that would what we compare to that is to say that also any other psul, that their child is also pasul, then their cohabitation invalidates. Lafuka mitzri sheni the inzari pasul, that however does not the case by mitzri and adami, which is a second generation convert, where their children are not pasul. That's like it says a pasuk in Devarim, it says banim ashi yivodul ham dor shlishi, that the children that are born to them, these converts, the third generation, Yavu Lehem B'Kal Hashem, could come into the Kehillah of Hashem. And since their children are not posel, therefore we don't, it's not exactly like Kohen Gadol Amona, which the Zari is posel, and therefore won't be like the Kohen Gadol that makes the Amona Psula. Here their cohabitation, according to Rabbi Yossi, will not make the woman a Psula. Now, the third opinion mentioned that Brice of the previous staff was Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. He said, a different qualification, he said, Kol Sha'ata, wherever it is that you, a Kohen, could be nice bitay, could marry the daughter of this posel, well then you, a Kohen, is nice amanusa b'chula, then you could marry his amana, meaning that the woman he cohabited with is not a psul. Now the Gemara asks, Mayikabain Rabbi Yisrael, what's the difference between the two of them? They seem both to be indicating that if the child is kosher, well then the bee is not psula. So that's exactly what Rabbi Yisrael said. So Ula said, no, there's a difference in ger amayni umayavi ikabinayu. The difference is because a person from Amun and Moyav that converted, him, his son, his grandson, for all eternity, their children are considered pasul and cannot marry into the Kehillah Klal Yisrael. But their daughters are kasha. And that is, as we mentioned, of Ayin Vav and Beis, the drasha says amayni in the masculine, but not amaynis. Now, what comes out is that according to Rabbi Yossi, that he says the whole reason is that if he has pasul children, he invalidates with his cohabitation. Now, Amoyne Mayavi have children that are pasul, their sons notably. So therefore, his cohabitation of Ammon and Moab would invalidate. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that he says that it depends on the daughter, well then any Ammon and Moab ger, although they're puzzle, will not invalidate a woman with that bia because his daughter is kosher. Now the Gemara says, as I said before, Vishneim lo yilamdu el mekohen gadol b'amon, and they actually both learned it out from Ammon lekohen gadol. The Rabbi Yossi says, look, ma kohen gadol b'amon, just like a kohen gadol t'amon, shezari posel upaisel, that the child that's born from that union is a posel, he's a chal. Therefore, and the kohen gadol himself, the woman that he's cohabiting with, which creates that child, will also become invalid. Av kol shezari posel upaisel, that would include anyone that the child, that there are children that are posel, so then that man will invalidate, and therefore the Ammon and Moav gerim, who they have posel children, most notably the males, therefore will invalidate with their cohabitation. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Saber says, no, ma kohen gadol amono shekol zarei posel upaisel. Kohen gadol amono, all his children, whether daughters or sons, are chalolos or chalols. Therefore he invalidates with his cohabitation. Av shekol zarei posel upaisel, so it has to be everyone else, that also all their children are posel, they invalidate. Lafuke amoyne mi'avi, that excludes a ger from Ammon and Moav, the in kol zarei posel, where not all his children are posel. Damamar, as we had said before, amoyni, it says in the masculine of the Torah, v'lo amoynis, and that is the females of Ammon are permitted, mi'avi v'lo mi'avis, the females of Moav are permitted, and therefore not all his children, because the girls are going to be permitted to enter the kehilah. And that's why it's not exactly like Kangal Amona, and that's why he holds that those types of psulim actually will not invalidate a woman that he cohabits with from Kuhuna and from Chuma. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah again, which we had mentioned in the previous daf, is almost called the Seifa of the previous Mishnah. It's a continuation of the same theme regarding certain individuals when they cohabit with a woman, regarding if they are Paisal and Ve'inim Achil. So the Mishnah tells us, Ha'inis, a man that violates forcibly a woman to cohabit with him, v'amafata, or he seduces her, or v'hashaita. In this case, actually told about someone that's mentally deranged, even if he does it through regular chuppah and kedushin, he gets married with a woman. But either way, these three people, loy paislam, will not invalidate the woman that they're cohabiting with from continued tichruma, and v'loy machilan, and that is, they will not allow her, if let's say they're kohanim, to eat truma, because like the Oynes and Mafata, there actually there's no marriage here whatsoever, so for sure there's no kin and kasboy. And moreover, even by the Shaita, since he's a Shaita, he doesn't have das, so his kinyonim, his acquisitions, are not halachically valid. So therefore, the marriage does not create a situation of kin and kasboy for him, even though he's a kohen, to go ahead and feed this woman, this Bas Yisrael, to eat truma. Now, however, the Mishnah tells us, Ve'im einan ru'in love be Yisrael. However, if one of these individuals, or were one of the people that are pasul, that are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, like a mamzer, nosen, chal, we said this whole list, then harei lo paislin, then they will invalidate the woman from continuing to eat truma, let's say she was a bas kayin. And the reason is because she became a chalala from this invalid bia, from this person that was a pasul. And as we explained in the previous stuff, that we said this comes to include not only psuli kahal, as we said, is possibly included in the 9-year-old from the previous Mishnah, but even a case of Psulik Kahuna, that she becomes a Chalala. So even though if they weren't apostle, but just someone that just violated her or seduced her or was a Shaita, if they're intrinsically apostle, like a Mamza Nasan, and they cohabit with her, then they will invalidate her, even in just, let's say, seducing, in seduction, or in a case of Oynes. Now, the Mishnah explains Ketzad. What exactly is this case of that they're not pot, they don't poisle, and they're not Michael? So the Gemara says, Harei Yisrol Shabal Bas Kain. If a non-Kain goes and seduces or rapes a woman not for the purpose of Kedushin purposes, well then, that's what the Mishnah is saying, that Loi Paislin, that is, she's Toichel B'Truma, she could continue eating Truma. She's a single woman that's by her father's house, who's a Kain. She could continue eating Truma. The fact that an Oynes or Mefate had cohabited with her does not invalidate her. Now, however, continue on Tamid Beis, where the Mishnah tells us if Ibra, if he impregnated her by this act of violation, then Loi Soichel B'Truma, then this Bas Kain cannot continue eating Truma. That's for a different reason. That's because, as we learned on Daf Samach Zayin Mabeis, that just the fact that she has a fetus invalidates her from eating truma by her father's house, because the pasuk says kinereho, as she was in her youth, which that excludes a woman that's muberes, where a single woman is not pregnant. And therefore, obviously, that she cannot continue eating truma if she became pregnant. Now, if nechtech uba b'me'eho, if let's say the fetus gets cut up, meaning that the child doesn't end up surviving the pregnancy, well then teichel, then she could immediately go back and continue eating truma. And as Rashi says, even if let's say the child's born but then dies, the whole reason why she wasn't able to eat was because she wasn't kinureho, because she has a child or she's pregnant. When she doesn't have a child and she was never married to or had cohabited with someone that she was possible to, she could continue eating truma. Now, let's say it's the other way around, of the loy machilin. Hayukayin sheba bas Yisrael. Let's say it was a kayin that violated her or seduced her and she was a bas Yisrael. That's what the Mishnah means when it says loy techa b'truma. Just the fact that he cohabited with her, where there's no kinyan kasboy, will not allow her to eat the truma, although the one who cohabited with her was a kayin. Now that's even, the Mishnah tells us, even if Ibra, even if he makes her pregnant, loy techa, she's still not going to be able to eat truma. And the reason is because, although as we'll shortly see that when she has a child from him, actually she could eat truma, but just having a fetus does not allow the non-kohen mother to eat truma until he's actually born. That's because, as it says in Meikachav Beis, it says, V'lid beisa yoichelu, that the children of the household of the kohen, they could also eat truma. But the drasha is that only a yalid, child that's born, and as we learn elsewhere that the term Yoichlu is that yachilu, that they can make others eat, which in one of the drashas comes to include the mother. By virtue of the yilid bias that's born, then yachilu, they could feed other people like avodim and the mother, but that's only if it's born. But if the child's not born, if it's just still a fetus, then the mother cannot eat because of that fetus. But however, the Mishnah tells us, yolda toichel. Once that fetus is born, is becomes a child, then she could eat truma from this family of this man that she never even married, who just violated her or who just seduced her. And as the Mishnah concludes from that, Nintza Koichi Shel Ben, God the Mishnah, what comes out is that the power of the son is greater than the father. In other words, this man who just cohabited with her cannot give her to eat truma because he never had cohabitation with her as a form of kedushin, and therefore she's not kinyan kasboy. But the son could have her eat, because since she's his mother, Yilid Beisa Yoichlu tells you that a child from a family of Kahuna is Yachilu, can feed other people, one of them being his mother. As we see that, let's say, when she's married to a Kohen and he dies, she could continue eating because of the child. This case, even if there's no marriage, she could eat because of the child. Now, however, the Mishnah moves on to a different case. Ha'eved Paisel Mishum Bia. The case of where a slave cohabits with a woman, if let's say she's a bas kohen, if the eved the slave cohabits with this daughter from a kohen, will invalidate her from eating truma. As we had mentioned in the previous staff, that we had sources for this, either almonas v'geirushin, has to be someone that can create kedushin. If not, his act of cohabitation will invalidate the woman. Now, however, the ena paisa mishum zera. However, an eved will not invalidate a woman from eating truma as in being in the state of a child. In other words, if let's say that there's a bas kohen that gets married to a kosher Yisrael, and the child is an eved. Now, then her husband, that's a Yisrael, dies, and only this child is left. We don't say, as we normally do, that if she has children from this non-kohen husband, that she cannot go back to eating truma by her father's household. And the reason is because an eved has no yichus. It's not considered a child. And that's what the Mishnah is going to explain right now. How can you have a child from a regular kosher Yisrael that the child is an eved? But be that as it may, that's what the Mishnah is teaching, that although an eved will invalidate with his cohabitation, but in the format of being a child, which generally a child could invalidate a mother from going back to her household to eating truma, an eved will not. As the Mishnah says, Ketzah, what exactly is this case? So let's say you have Bas Yisrael L'Koyin, that's going to be one case, or the other way around, Bas Koyin L'Yisrael. And V'yolda Hemena Ben, and whichever way this can go, it can go either way, she had a child from that husband. V'holach HaBen V'nichbash Al HaShifcha. Then the son went, and he pushed himself, he attached himself, which is a derogatory type of term, onto a maidservant, meaning that's something that was inappropriate, that wasn't supposed to be done. But V'yolda Hemena Ben, that son who cohabited with a maidservant, had a son from the maidservant. So Hareza Evan. So that makes that child into a slave, because the child of a maidservant has the same halachic status like his mother, as the pasuk says in Shmos Chaval, Ha'isha Viladeha. The maidservant's children take after her status, and just like she's a slave, her children are slaves. Now, the application is as follows. If it's the case of Ha'isa Eim Aviv Bas Yisrael Akain, let's say his father's mother was the case of the Bas Yisrael married to a Kayan, then we have an application of the Eved, meaning Loi Seichel B'Truma, that she cannot eat truma. And the reason is because, although generally, when the Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen, and there's some children or grandchildren, somebody that's alive from that union, that she could eat truma because of that child or grandchild, here she won't be able to eat truma because that's not considered a grandchild. An Eved has no relationship whatsoever to that kosher side. It's only taking after that mother that's the maidservant. Now, what we're getting at regarding the case of Ve'ena Paisel Misham Zara is this next case, the other type of case. If Bas Kohen Yisrael, let's say it's the case of you had the mother was from a family of Kohanim that got married to Yisrael to a non-Kohen. Now, if the husband dies and the grandchild is still alive, this one that was born from the son who pushed himself on the maidservant and created this grandchild, although generally any child or grandchild, even if it's pasul, as the Gemara says in Daf Ayin and Aleph, that even Zera Zara Minai, how do we know that any type of grandchild will go ahead and create that status that it's considered a grandchild, and hence she would not be able to go back to her father's household to eat truma? In this case, Toichal B'truma, she'd still be able to eat truma. And the reason is because this is not even a pasul grandchild, because there's actually no paternity here. There's no relationship whatsoever to the father, who was her son, that she had from this Yisrael, because since her son died, and the only one left is his son, that's not considered the son's son. Because since he was born from a maidservant, it takes after only after his mother, he's not considered her grandchild, and therefore she has no more descendants from this union, and therefore she could go back eating truma. That's what the Mishnah means when it says that although an Eved is a factor in invalidating a woman if he cohabits with her, but as a child, or in this case really it means a grandchild, he will not invalidate his grandmother, who is a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael, from going back to eating truma in her father's house. Now, the Mishnah, however, contrasts that with Mamzer, with an illegitimate child, where he is Paisel Umachl, he invalidates and he does feed, meaning he's not like the case of the Eved, in the sense of he is considered Zara. Now, Kate said, what would these two cases be that he could invalidate or he could feed in the sense of being a Zera? So the Mishnah says, whether you have Bas Yisrael Kohen or Bas Kohen Li Yisrael, V'yoldehem en Abbas, and this union gave birth to a daughter. Now, V'holcha Abbas, benissis le'evet o'lev kechavim. Here's the other way around. It wasn't that she had a son that married someone forbidden. She had a daughter that married someone forbidden to a slave or to a non-Jew. Now, V'yoldehem en ben. Now, from that union, she had a son. Now, Hareza Mamzer, that child is Jewish because we go after the mother, and the mother Jewish. But his illegitimate child because it was from a forbidden union of a slave or a non-Jew. Now, however, what comes out is, if let's say his mother's mother, who is the woman that we're talking about, was the case of where you have a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, Teichel B'Truma, even if her daughter dies, the grandson will still allow her to eat Truma from her deceased husband that was a Kohen, because he's considered a descendant, although he's possibly a mamzer, but it's her grandchild, and any type of grandchild or child allows her to continue eating truma. So that's the case of where he's Michael. Whereas Bas Kohen Li Yisrael, if you have a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael, loy toichel b'truma, she will not be able to eat truma. That's what it means to say that he'll be paisel, because ultimately he is her grandchild, and thus she's still connected to that Yisrael. She can't be v'shavah beis aviyah. Now, similarly, what the Mishnah concludes with is a certain novelty based on this halacha. You can have a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, which is the ultimate kahuna and truma, pamim shuhu paisel, actually will come out that sometimes he will invalidate a certain woman from eating truma. And that is, if let's say you can have a daughter, he can be invalidating a bas Kohen, meaning a woman that was always able to eat truma, that this Kohen Gadol would cause that she cannot eat Shum anymore, because of the following case where he's a child of, a grandchild of hers, from a Yisrael. And that is Ketzahouse's case. If you have a Bas Kohen Yisrael, who she was able to eat Truma, and if her husband dies around the children, she can go back to eating Truma. Now, the Yoldim and a Bas, whatever, they gave birth to a daughter. V'halcha Bas v'nissis l'Kohen. Then her daughter went and married a Kohen. The Yoldim and a Ben, and then that child gave birth to a son. So, Hareza royally is Kohen Gadol. So, this person is fit to be a Kohen Gadol because his father is a Kohen, and therefore he could become the Kohen Gadol potentially. And even Oymer Mishah Mishal Gabim Zeich, he's standing there and serving on the Mizbeach, the ultimate kahuna. You would think he only allows people, only brings people into the fold. Actually, Meichel Elas Ima, you're right, because of that, he would have his mother, who is actually a Bas Yisrael, to allow her to eat Truma. And that's because even after his father dies, as we said, Yilid Beisa Yechelu, that Yachilu, that they can have their mothers eat because of them. But Rupaisel Eim Imoi, he will invalidate his grandmother, who's actually a Bas Koyen. He will invalidate her from eating Truma even after this grandchild's mother passed away. And the reason is, meaning after his mother passed away, so his grandmother, who was a Bas Koyen that was married to Yisrael, doesn't have any more children left. But the reason is because if not for him, his mother would be able to go back after her daughter had passed away. As we say later on in Perek Yesh Mutaras and Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, that if the child that she has from the Yuna Yisrael, the mother could go back and eat Truma. However, in this case, Zois, this woman, this grandmother, Imeris, you know what she says? She says, oh my, loy kibni kan gadol, that, you know, halavai, there shouldn't be people like my son, meaning my grandson, the kan gadol, could you imagine? A Kohen Gadol is invalidating me from eating Truma. And I was a Bas Kohen, I was able to eat Truma. And that's because, based on this calculation, where she was a Bas Kohen, married to Yisrael. Now, the Yisrael, he's dead. Now, even her daughter is dead. So she can go back. No, she has a grandchild from this union of the Yisrael. Although that grandchild could be a Kohen Gadol, but that still connects her to the Yisrael because she has children from him. In this case, grandchild. And therefore, she can't go back to eating Truma. So you could even have a Kohen Gadol invalidating a Bas Kohen from eating Truma. Again, similar to the concept that we find by Mamzer, where whatever the type of grandchild it is that keeps her connected to that union of Yisrael doesn't allow it to be V'shava B'Saviya. Now, the Gemara explains regarding one of the first cases we mentioned in the Mishnah, that we said that regarding the union of a Cheresh is not Meichel. So the Gemara says, Tanina l'had de Tanaban, this supports what we had learned in the Braisa. Shaita v'katan, shenasu nashem mesu. Regarding someone that is mentally deranged and a minor, that got married to women and then they died. So the Braisa says, Nishasein baturis b'nachalitza b'nayim, their wives are exempt, although they died without any children, are exempt from the halacha of chalitza b'nayim. The reason is, because obviously we see that there's no acquisition for a shaita. It's not even considered like his wife to mandate yibum. That's supported from our Mishnah, which says that this wife is not considered kinyakasboy to allow him to feed his wife truma, even though they had regular chuppah v'kedusha. Now the Mishnah went on to explain ketzah. What's this case of an oinis or a mafate, or someone that seduces or violates a woman, that just by the virtue of the cohabitation, that will not invalidate, and neither will it be meichel. So the Gersa was Harei Yisrael Shabal Bas Kohen. It works both ways regarding Paislin and Machilin, that if a Yisrael forcibly or seduced a woman that was a Bas Kohen, so the halacha is Teichel B'Truma, she could continue eating Truma because he's not a Pasul, and there was no union over here, so she could continue eating Truma. However, we said, Ibra Loi Teichel, if she becomes pregnant, then she cannot eat, as we said, because then she's not Kinoreha anymore. Now, that the Gemara asked, Kivin, since it's so obvious to us that the Ibra, we said in the Mishnah that if she's pregnant, then we tell her, Loi Teichel, that then she cannot eat Truma anymore because then she's not Kinureho. Then the question is, why did the Mishnah say that, just a blanket statement, that when the Yisrael is Baal Bas Kohen, let's say when he violated her or seduced her, that she could continue eating Truma? Why? Leichish, we should be concerned, Shema Ibra, maybe he impregnated her. Mi loitznan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, in Perek Dalet Achin, by women they got mixed up by their chuppah, that by mistake they switched wives after they got married, we said over there, Mafrish Naisen, so you have to separate them from the husbands for a period of Gimel Chadashim for 3 months. Shemamu Barasein, maybe they became pregnant from the first night. And hence, the problem with that would be is that the children are Mamzerim, because they were really married to one man, and there's an Ashes Ish over here that happened. So you need to be able to do what's called Havchana, differentiate between a kosher child and a Pasla child. Now, but one thing that we see from that Mishnah is that although it happened one time, that we're concerned that maybe she became pregnant, and that's why we have to separate for 3 months. So why over here, when she was violated, that we say that she could still continue eating truma, but maybe she's pregnant, and pregnation itself is a problem? So that Amar Rabbi Rav Huni says, L'yuchsin chashashu, that really this is just what's called, that we find in many times in Shas, it's called Maila Asa L'yuchsin. It's just an elevated status we made because for the Jewish people, this term of yichus and lineage, it's a more heightened area. And therefore, we're concerned that even for a one-time situation, that although it's just a case of doubt, that we want to be concerned that we're going to make a three-month wait. But l'truma l'chashu, but generally a regular halacha, like regarding the woman continuing to eat truma, that we weren't concerned about, and to say that maybe she's pregnant, never she could continue eating truma from her father's house. Now, the Gemara asked on that. L'truma l'chashu, is it really true that because of a case of doubt, if she's pregnant or not, for truma we're not concerned about that? But v'tanya l'in the braisa that says, hariza gitach. If a kohen is married to a bas Yisrael, and he says, look, this should be your get, sho'achas kohen misasi. He doesn't want her to be a widow, and for whatever the reasons is. So he says, I want it to be that an hour before I die, halachically you should be considered as if you were divorced. So the halacha, the braisa says, asur lacha b'trumayat. So from that moment on, she's forbidden to eat truma, because every moment you say, maybe he's going to die. And if he's dying in an hour from now, that means I'm really divorced now. Now, but one thing that we see is obviously that she does become forbidden for truma in the case of safek. It's only a case of doubt. Who said the ratio is any less or more than the case of the if she's pregnant or not? And here, maybe he's going to die, maybe he's not going to die. He might die in 10 years from now, but still we say she's forbidden based on the suffix. So you see that truma, we are concerned for suffix. So why is it any different that by the case of being pregnant, that maybe out of doubt, she shouldn't be able to eat truma? So the Gemara says, no, Ella, rather, Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, he qualifies his statement. He says that, don't say that I meant that for truma, that you don't have to be concerned. That you're right. Of course, even for a case of doubt, we're concerned by the case of truma. But rather, the answer is as follows, that the reason why here it's different, and here we're not going to be concerned, although we're concerned for suffix, even by truma, is because binisuin, by the case of marriage, which was the case that you brought from there, which was when the wives were mixed up after the chuppah, there were chashashu, that maybe they became pregnant. And the reason is because they didn't find it any reason to try to prevent conception, because that was a mistake they made. They didn't realize that it was the wrong husband and wife. Now, biznos lechashu. However, when it's a case of illicit relationships where she was violated or seduced, that the Gemara tells us elsewhere that an isha that's mezana, she does what's called mishapeches. She turns herself inside out that she shouldn't conceive. And therefore, for that reason itself, there's no doubt, because the odds are that for sure she's not becoming pregnant because she did everything possible to avoid the possibility of becoming pregnant. Now, Taisus points out, although there's three cases, not just Enes and Mefat, there's actually a case when she's married to someone that's mentally deranged. So Taisus says, although that in that case she's married, she'll still be misapechas. She'll try to avoid conception. And the reason is because she doesn't want to become pregnant from such a husband, because she's afraid that maybe she's not going to be able to deal with this type of situation, as it is the marriage is difficult. Having a child in this union is going to be very difficult, so even in that case, we're not concerned for her being pregnant, and therefore she could continue eating truma from her father's house. But now the Gemara asked, in that division that we made, regarding we had asked the question, if we're concerned about a woman that has one-time relations, if we're concerned that she was impregnated or not, so he said that, look, it's not a difficulty from that Mishnah Daf Lamed Gimel, because they were talking about Nisuin, where a woman that gets married, generally, when she has cohabitation, she doesn't try to make an attempt not to conceive, and therefore we are concerned, and we have to separate for 3 months. Whereas in the case of Znus, where she was seduced or violated, where a woman doesn't want to become pregnant in that situation, she does all that she can to avoid it, and therefore, like the case of our Mishnah, we're not concerned that maybe she became pregnant. But now the Gemara asks, Ubenisun Michashu? is it really true, as we seem to be explaining that Mishnah of Lamed Gimel, that when there is marriage, that then we are concerned for one time of cohabitation that she's pregnant? But Vatanya, in the Brice, it says, Bas Koyin Shenisis Lisrol Vemes. If a Bas Koyin got married to a non Koyin, and then on the day that they got married, and there was one time that they cohabited, then he died. So the Brice says, Toivelis. So she has to immerse herself in the mikvah. That's purely for the tumma that comes with Bia. As the Pasuk says in Birkat HaZvav, that Ve'isha Asher Yishkav Ish Oisa Shechva Zer, just for cohabiting, that requires immersion in the mikvah. But Ve'chelis B'chumal Erev, once she has tefillah with Erev Shemesh sundown, she can go back and eat in truma. Now why? This was a regular marriage. She didn't want her husband to die who she was married with for one day. And yet we say, look, there's no children. And she was just married for one day. And after the first time of cohabiting, he died. So she can go ahead and immerse herself in the truma. But why? You just said, in explanation of the Mishnah Daf Lama Gimel, that in cases of marriage, as there was when the wives got mixed up, that you have to separate for 3 months. We are concerned, maybe she's pregnant. If she's pregnant from the Yisrael, and there is such a valid concern, she can't continue eating truma. So that Amrav Chizdi says, what the Braisa was saying was Tevelis Vechelis Ad Arboim. Yes, that night she can go, and she can go, meaning the next day, meaning by the daytime she can immerse, wait for sundown, and continue eating for the next 40 days. And that is as follows. Because De'iloi Ma'abra, if she's not pregnant, well then Holo Ma'abra, she's not pregnant, she goes right back to her father's household. And even Ve'ima Abra, even if she's pregnant, as like you're saying, that there are odds, there's a possibility that she's pregnant, and we have to be concerned, but Adarbom, up until 40 days of conception, Ma'ya Ba'almahi, the fetus is just a bunch of water, and therefore, since the formation of a child takes at least 40 days to be considered a child, that's what we meant to say. Yes, after 40 days, we would have to wait and see to see if she's pregnant or not. And there is that valid concern, as the Mishnah says, Daf Lamed Gimel. Here, the Braisa says, right away she can go back eating truma, is because even if she has conceived, for the next 40 days, there's no halachic problem anyway. Now, Amalei Abayis, Abayis said to that, Ihachi, if that's the case, how you're interpreting, Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa over there. It says, Hokor Ubra B'me'el, if it comes out that we recognize that there's a fetus in her womb, that she's pregnant, what comes out is, Tehei Milku Kelis L'mafreya, comes out retroactively that she has been ruined in the sense that she has to pay back all the truma that she ate, A, the principal, and B, a penalty of a fifth, because it comes out that retroactively she was a Zara, because she has a child from Yisrael that she was married to, and she was eating truma all the while, B'shoigig. Now, that Abai says, if it's like you had interpreted that it's only talking about we're allowing her for the next 40 days, so why is she Milku Kelis? All those 40 days, she was not a Zara, even if it turns out she was pregnant, but the fetus in that stage was not considered a child that makes her possible from eating truma. So the Gemara says, my Milku Kelis, you're right. What did the Braisa mean at the Sefer when it says it comes out retroactively, she's Milku Kelis? Was Ad Arboim. Meaning, if she continued eating after the 40 days, then retroactively she's going to be ruined up until going backwards to day 40. Now, Rashi just clarifies one point. He says, from the fact that Rav Chisda answered that she could eat up until the 40th day, obviously, as Rashi had explained the Gemara, as we had been saying it, that when the Braisa says, Mace Baila, her husband died, must be the day they got married, they cohabited, and he died. Because if they were married for some time, then actually she would be forbidden immediately, because maybe she's pregnant because they were already married 40 days. And could be from the first time she conceived, so actually that would be immediately. And that's how Rashi knows that the interpretation is that he died that day. And that's why for the next 40 days, either way you look at it, she could continue eating truma. And that's why that's not a challenge to what we said before. Yes, there is a concern, as we said in the Mishnah of Lam Gimel, of pregnancy, but that wouldn't be anyways a halachic problem until after 40 days. Now, the Gemara introduces the following topic, which will come in relative to our Mishnah. Itmar, we had the following discussion. If someone's engaged and he cohabits with the woman that he's engaged to while she's still in his father-in-law's house, meaning she's still by her father, and he cohabits with her, no, so there's the following machlekes. Rav Amar Havlad Mamzer. Rav says, and this is the first of two versions of this machlekes, Rav says the child is a mamzer. Now, as Rashi explains, although both of them agree that he cohabited with her, now, that actually biblically is not forbidden. It's rabbinically forbidden. It's a type of a pretzis. It's just inappropriate. Now, but since they're both agreeing that she's obviously a type of character that's morally loose in that way, so what Rav says is since we're concerned that she's a prutza type, so we're concerned that actually that she probably cohabited with other people too, which are biblical prohibitions, because once she's engaged, she's an Ashes Ish. Now, so we assume that must be she's been having relations with other men. So the child is a mamzer, because probably it was from some other man. For Shmulam, which that other man is a chiv karis in the sense of Ashes Ish, creating a child a mamzer. For Shmulam havlad shtuki. Shmuel says no, the child is what's called a shtuki, which shtuki just comes from the term of that we keep him silent, which is generally a term used when we don't know who the father is, which that's what's called a suffix mamzer. And the reason why Shmuel considers him just not like Rava Vadi mamzer, but a suffix mamzer, doubtful mamzer, is because we're not sure. Maybe that this child was conceived when her aris, when her fiancé had relations with her, and therefore that would be a viable child. Biblically, that's a kosher child. Or maybe it's from a different man. And therefore, it's a doubtful, illegitimate child. So that's the status Shmuel gives it, but Rav gives it a status of a definite mamzer. Now, Amar Rav, Rav says, Mistaber milsi de Rav. It would make sense that this halacha of Rav would be true, that Rav considers it a vade mamzer, in a situation with the daima me'alma, where there is suspicions about her having relations with other men too. And that is, as Rashi explains, that this is different than other types of situations where there's a married woman, that there are rumors about her that she's having relations with other men, where actually they would say the children are going to be kosher. Now, the reason over there is because since she's married, there's a halachic dictum of Reiv Be'ilos Halach Achra Baal. We say that if we're going based on the laws of majority, most of her cohabitations are with her husband. Now, she might be unfaithful having relations with other men, but the odds are that the child is coming, where we go based on halachas of majority of Reiv, is from the husband. But here it's different, because here her court husband is not someone that you have Reiv Be'ilos from, because they didn't have chuppah yet. So generally, she's not having relations with the one that she's engaged to according to Jewish law. And therefore, in this case, where she's having that, again, that there's the variable that she's, you don't have the concept of Bilas Achar Habal, because she's not having relations with the one that she's engaged to. And moreover, that there are suspicions about her, there are rumors that she's having relations with other men. That's where Rav said that, okay, the child's definitely a mamzer, because she's an Ashes Ish, and she's not, the child's probably not from the one she's engaged to, because they don't usually have relations, not married yet with chuppah. And we know that there's some suspicions about other men, so definitely we could treat it as a definite mamzer. Avaloi daimim alma, but if there's no suspicions, no one said anything about her having relations with other men, and both of them agreed that the two of them had relations, then Bastard di Desha Dinle, then we attribute it to him, and then the child will not be a mamzer according to Rav. Now that Amar Rav, he says, Menominila, where do I know this from? How can I prove this? He says, Zitani, because we learned in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if this Bas Yisrael that was seduced or violated by a Kayin, so the Mishnah said, if she gives birth to a child from that union, Teichel, then she could eat Truma because of her son. Because once a woman has a son that's a kayin, even if she's not even married to that man, as we said on the pasuk says, "Vilid beisay yachlu yachilu," that the mother could eat because of him. Now, one thing we see from the halacha of our Mishnah is that we attribute her son from this kayin that violated her or seduced her. Now, hey chedami. So Rebbe says, what exactly is the case of our Mishnah? Ilema de daima, if it's talking about that our room is also that me'alma, that there's suspicion that there were other men that had relations with this woman, well then yalda my toichel. Why when she gives birth to a child, can she eat truma because this kayin violated her? Who said it's from him? It could be from all these other men. Elalav minei daima, rather it must be talking about that the only thing that we know here is that he violated her. But v'loy daima me'alma, and it's not talking about that we have any reason to believe it was from anyone else. Now, so you make the following logical conclusion. Uma hasam, and in the case of our Mishnah, de lahayi surah ulahayi surah, where she's forbidden to all men, meaning to other men that possibly it could have been from, and even from this man, meaning the one who violated or seduced her, she's forbidden because the Rabbanan made a gzeira on even having yichud, seclusion with a single girl. All the more so, this man violating this woman. And yet, in spite of that, basrei didei shadin la, we still attribute the child to him. And that is even though she's also to him, because that's the only thing we know about. So if so, hacha de lahai isur ulahai het teiro, so therefore we'll be here where everyone else is also to her, and the man she's engaged to is permitted. Again, we said it's rabbinically prohibited, it's a pretzis, but everyone else she's forbidden to, and for him she's permitted. Loi kol shekein, isn't it logical to say that definitely when the only suspicions we have is between him and her, that of course we're going to say that the child is going to be attributed to him. And therefore that's what Rava says, like a proof from our Mishnah, that if it's loy daimim alma, if there's no suspicions from the world, that it is basrei didei shadin, and that we do base it on this person. Even according to Rav, we're not going to say that the Vlad's going to be a mamzer, and that is we should suspect that maybe it's from someone else. We're not going to. And therefore, in this case of where the Aris was Ba al Rusasai, we're going to say it's probably from him, because even in the case of our Mishnah, where that's not even a permitted union, we say it's probably from him, because we see the child allows her to eat, that we attribute it to him. All the more so in the case of here, where it's actually halachically, biblically permitted, that for sure we're going to attribute the child to him and not to someone else, and therefore the child's not going to be a mom's. And Omri Abai asked on Rava's interpretation. Says, Lo'il Memelcha, really I'll tell you that it's not a raya from our Mishnah. I'll tell you that kol hecha de daima mina, that whatever there's this suspicion, meaning that they both agree, which is still a suspicion, we don't know, we weren't there, that both of them say that, yeah, I had relations with the one I was engaged to. Afagav de le daima ma'amla, even if there's no suspicions from anyone else, there's no one saying anything about this woman, still amarav havlad mamzer. Still Rav would say, not like you're trying to say, the child, we still consider it a very highly likely, even more than from the Aris, that's from some other man, and she's a married woman because she's engaged already, and the child's going to be a mamzer. Now, my time, what's the reason? Very simply, damrina mid'afgir nafshla gabi Aris, since she's in a state of what's called hefkeris, that is, she's acting morally loose, and that is, she's engaging in relations with the man she's engaged to, which is not halachically condoned, so afgir nafshla alma, so she also makes herself free to other men also, and very likely to say, especially since we don't know the concept of rei b'ilas achar baal, because she's not having chuppah with him yet, and therefore we won't say necessarily it's from him, the majority of the world is more of a reason to suspect, and that would make the child into a mamzer. Now, but our Mishnah that said that the child we will attribute to this person that violated her or seduced her, even though it's an Asr law, and still we attribute, so wouldn't it be like Rabbah had said that some of this Mutr law biblically that should for sure be attributed to him? No. Because you know what the case of Mishnah is talking about? Both of them were in lockdown. They were both in jail, where it's not possible it was from anyone else. That's why our Mishnah says that from that one time when he violated her or seduced her, if she gives birth to a child, then she'll be able to go ahead and eat truma. But if she's not in lockdown and she could have relations with any man in the world, we'll assume it's probably from someone else, and not from the Aris, and not from this person that was Ma'anasar. And that's why Rav would say, Avlad Mamzer, even if it's loy daimim alma, even if there's no suspicions of anyone else. That's one version of this machlekes Rav and Shmuel, and a machlekes Rav and Abaye in how to interpret Rav's opinion. Ikudamim, they would say a different version. And that is, bibo aleha, when he agrees that he cohabited with her, the person that was engaged and she's pregnant, he says, look, it was from me, the child's not a mamzer. Now, Tosfos adds on also that this second version is saying that there was no suspicions that she had relations with anyone else. So in such a case, Abaye would agree, kulam aloi pligi, that the basu de desha dinlai. Then we do attribute it to him, and we're not going to say the child's a mamzer. Now, however, this is what the machlekes Rav and Shmuel was. Arusa she'ibra, no one said anything, the fiancé is not here, no, we can't ask anyone. We just see this woman that was engaged is pregnant. That is where Rav Amar Havlad Mamza. That's where Rav says the Vlad is Mamza. Now, since we're not going based on testimonials, this second version says that Rav will say the child is a Mamza based on the laws of Roif. And that is, since the majority of the world is forbidden to her, she's an Eishes, she's engaged, so we say most probably it's from some other man, And therefore, the majority of the world says that it was probably from them, and therefore, the child's going to be a mamzer. However, the Shmuel says, no, it's still a case of doubt, and therefore, it's a suffix mamzer. Now, and that is what Amar Rav says, Mistabr Milsi the Rav. It makes sense that if you would want to say that in this case, that Rav said the Vlad's a mamzer, is only Deloidaima Mine, where that there wasn't any suspicion regarding the Arus and Vidaima Ma'almo. And there was suspicion that it was from someone else out there that she had relations with. Now, we have a continue on top of Ayin Manal of Aval Daima Mina, but if there was suspicions that the Arus also cohabited with his Arusa, then Avagav the Daima Ma'almo, then even if there was these rumors that she cohabited with other people, Basrei Didei Shadimle, we're still going to attribute it to him and not to anyone else. Now, Amar Rav Minam Minam. Rav says, how do I know this? How do I know that it's only because when we just find her pregnant and we have no reason to believe that the Arus had cohabited with her, then we say, okay, then it must be from the majority of the people of the world. But when we think that the Arus was, then we'll attribute it to him more than anyone else because at least she's engaged to him, so she knows him, she'll be intimate with him, but other people not. So how do I know that? They're telling me because we learned in our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yolda Teichel, regarding this woman that was violated or seduced by this Kayin, and then she gives birth to a child. So the Mishnah is Teichel, she could eat because of the child that she has from him. Now, Hechidemi, what's the case of the Mishnah? If it's talking about that the only one we know that cohabited with her was this person that violated her, and we don't know of any other situation where any other man was. So, do we have to say that she's eating truma because of him? This is the only cohabitation we know of. So, of course, it's his child, and of course, she could eat because of the pasuk says, lid beisoy yachilu, that they can have their mother eat if the children are kahanim. Elav must be talking about the daimanami mi alma, that no, he's not the only one that we think of that happened. That there's reasons to believe that there were other men that cohabited with her. And still we say, if she gives birth, she can eat truma. So therefore, Rabbi says, Uma hasam de lahai isur lahai isur, or we're there, all men are forbidden to her, all other men of the world, and the man that violated her, that was ma'anas or mefat to her. And still we say, Basrei didei shadin la, still, since we know of this story, we'll attribute the child to him, and it's going to be considered his son, and therefore that's it's her son too, and she can eat truma because of that. So hacha de lahai yisru lahai ater. So therefore, in our case, where for the rest of the world she's asked to, for the one that she's engaged to, she's permitted to. Loy kol shekein, isn't it most definitely that if there's a suspicion from him and from the world, that most definitely we're going to attribute it to him, and therefore Rav would not say over there havlad mamzer. It must be Rav only says havlad mamzer when it's loy down mimine, but it's daimim miyama. Now that Amalei Abai asked on Rav, he says no loyil memlecha. Really, I'll tell you. Wherever there's suspicions from the world, Avagav the daimim minei, even though there's also reason to believe that maybe he cohabited with her, still Amar Rav Havlad Mamzer, even there Rav would say the child's a Mamzer. However, Masnitin, this that you bring our Mishnah, is B'loi daim klal, is where there is no suspicions from anybody beforehand, not from him and not from anyone in the world. That's why we have to say that she could eat Truma, because you're right, of course, if we had only from him, then of course we would say. And But I'm arguing regarding the case that you want to infer, okay, so it's obviously not just him, so it must be him and the world, and still you see that she can eat, must be that we don't say the Vlad Mamz. I'm saying, no. If it's from him, suspicions, and from the world, we'll say it's from the world, and she cannot eat. Our Mishnah is talking about that there were no suspicions. So therefore, that's where we're going to say that she could eat, but the Chiddush is, as Rashi says, is that the one time she cohabited with him was enough for her to become pregnant and create a child. Because that itself, there's a chiddush, say we don't know where the child came from. Although there's only one incident that we know of, but who said that that made her pregnant? That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Abai says, maybe not like you, maybe Rav says his halacha, even in daima mine and daima ma'amah, that the vlad is a mamzer. And our Mishnah that says that we could attribute the child to him is just by the fact when there is no suspicions from anybody. And we could say that it was that one bia that is claimed to have happened that she was able to become pregnant from.